Okay, we're up to Daf Pei Beis. The first topic is what should be used for kinuach. So Rav Huna says you should learn from Rav Chisda. His teachings are very sharp. And when I go to him, he discusses secular things, like when one goes to the basic kisa, you should not make too fast or press too hard. For the rectum rests on three teeth, and either of those could uproot the teeth and endanger him. So he says, that's essential for life. That you call secular matters, mundane things. That's far from mundane. So the Gemara then talks about one as a pebble. He should be mekaneach with the pebble, not the cheres. These are different items they use, mekaneach with the grass. What should be the item that a person should use? Now again, because of kavod abrius, we allowed certain leniencies because a person needs to take care of themselves in this way and shouldn't go around otherwise. The Bryce says the one who eats when he needs to move his bowels is like an oven that's ignited with old ashes inside, and it will lead to a persistent odor and sweat. Okay, the Gemara then says that before beginning a proper meal, one should try to walk 4 amas 10 times or 10 amas 4 times, and then relieve yourself. Try to get the bowels going. Okay, then the shear is for cheres, to put it between pillars so they won't lean. Again, more of these shirim that ends the perek all the way to the end. To perek Amar Rabbi Akiva is the next perek. So Rabbi Akiva starts with the first Mishnah unrelated to Shabbos, but they were taught more because they resemble the Mishnah on 86a, which discusses the source to Mechal Shabbos for a recently circumcised baby. So the question is, what's the source that an idol has Tumas Mace? So the answer is Tizrim Komodaba Tse Tomarlo. Just like a Nida has Tumas Mace, so too an idol. And if the wall of Reuven's house separated his house from the house of an idol and the wall fell, he can't rebuild it because that would benefit the idolatry. On 82b is if he and the idolaters jointly own the wall, half of its place counts towards 4 amos. If the stones and dirt are tamim like a sheretz, that's sheket to shaktenu. Right, a person should make idols foreign to them, you know, totally foreign. Okay, also relevant here, idols are equated to Tumas Nida. There's a hekesh that's made there. The concept of an Eben Mesama. An Eben Mesama, Rashi says that an Eben Mesama is a stone that's set up on poles or supports, like the cloths or utensils underneath it. Don't touch it. Tosus, quoting Rabbeinu Tam, says that it's a stone that's so heavy that there's no recognizable pressure from the Nida who's on it to the clothing or to the utensils under it. Rashi, Tanita 55a, says that this is a stone that is too heavy to move, and the Nida's on the stone, and the stone is resting on clothing or kalim that become tamayim. But the Nida's on top of the clothing or kalim that under the stone, since the stone is too heavy to carry the normal tumas masa, it's not going to apply to them. So, misham sheha. So it's usher to derive any benefit from objects used in the service of Avodah Zarah, as it's learned from Devarim 7:26, that anyone who prohibits from them receives Malkus 2 times, once for the prohibition in the above verse and once for the prohibition in Devarim Yud Gimel 18. Objects of Avodah Zarah themselves and the kalim that are used in the service have to be destroyed. The kalim that are used in the service of Avodah Zarah have a lesser degree of tumah derabanan than Avodah Zarah itself, and they can make a person tameh through touching, through maga. Just some deeper ha'aras here. So the Gemara in 81b says the person should not use a piece of cheres, a potsher, for kinuach in the bathroom because of sakana, its sharpness. It can cause damage to the rectal musculature orifice. And because of kshafim, sorcerers who are able to cast spell on those use it. The Gemara in 82a then says that one should not use a material that's flammable, like grass, because it can cause damage to the rectal musculature. The Ramah mentions that it's the prevalent practice today to use paper for kinuach. Why are we concerned for the danger the Gemara depicts? So the Ramah in Darkei Moshe, the Shulchan Aruch, quotes the Aguda, who say that since our bathrooms are not in the fields, we're not concerned about using a material that's flammable. And the Ramah in Darkei Moshe declares that he does not understand the Aguda's reasoning. Why does the fact that our bathrooms are not in the field permit the use of flammable material for kinuach? So nevertheless, the Ramah concludes that since people commonly use paper for kinuach, it falls into the category of Shomer Pesoyim Hashem. The Mogen Avram explains the Aguda means that the reason a flammable material is dangerous is because of kshafim. It enables sorcerers to cast spells on those who use it. And it's not physically dangerous by itself. That's not the simple meaning of the Gemara 81b. That seems to distinguish between the two reasons of skana and kshafim. But bottom line is, since there's no fear of kshafim nowadays, one should be permitted to use paper. The Prisha explains the Rabbanan prohibited using a certain object for kinuach only when there are two reasons not to use it. One, like sakana, two, kshafim. But now there's only one reason, sakana and not kshafim, therefore one is not prohibited to use flammable material. The Chasam Sofer explains that we paskin like Rava, who says that one is prohibited to use cheres only because it may tear off hairs on Shabbos and not because of sakana or kshafim. Now, though the Gemara refutes Rava when it cites a teaching of Yochanan in which he's not concerned for a davar shenei miskaven, the halacha follows Rava. Now, with regards to Rabbi Yochanan's statement, we find in many places there were two opinions as to whether or not Rabbi Yochanan paskin like every Stam Mishnah, and therefore it's not clear that he ruled that Davar Shem Skavin is mutter. Accordingly, the only reason one is prohibited to use Cheres is because it rips off hairs. Now, since Rava maintains, there's no Sakana there's no concern for Skana and Kshafim, perhaps there's also no concern for Skana and Kshafim with regard to all other items, and that's why we could use flammable paper for Kinuach. Now, Perek Amar Rabbi Akiva talks about the previous parak concluded with a Mishnah that deals with the minimum size of a clay potsherd, which one is chai for Hotzah when you carry it into Rishis HaRabim. The new parak begins by discussing the Tumah that the Rabbanan enacted for objects of idolatry. What's the connection between this one and the last one? So Rashi says the Mishnah here is unrelated to Shabbos. It's included here only because the Mishnah later in 86a teaches that a certain law of Shabbos is learned from a allusion in the Pasuk, and therefore the Mishnah teaches other laws that are inferred from the Pasuk. All of the Mishnayos that ask Minayin, from where do we learn this, and answer with a Pasuk, are included here because of the one Mishnah that's relevant to Shabbos, in which it asks Minayin and finishes with the Pasuk. Rabbeinu Chananel says the end of the previous Mishnah cited a Pasuk as an Asmachta for the Halacha Midirabanan. And this parak continues with Asmachtas from Psukim for Halachas Midirabanan. Tosus gives the answer of Rabbeinu Chananel and adds that the source for the Asmachta in the Mishnah is a Pasuk in the same place as a Yishayah, Ahu, as the source for the Asmachta in the previous Mishnah. On 82b, we have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan argue about the extent of Tumat of Avodah Zarah. Rabbi and Rabbi Lazar argue about the exact point of dispute between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan argue even whether Avodah Zarah is compared to Nida with regard to being Matame with Evan Masama. Rabbi Lazar holds that neither Rabbi Akiva nor the Rabbanan maintain that Avodah Zarah is Matame with Evan Masama. What's the difference between being Matame with Evan Masama and being Matame with Magal Masa? It seems that Evan Masama and Masa are the same type of transmission of Tumah. So according to Rashi, Maseches Nida, Evan Masama is an extension of Tumas Masa. And it differs from the normal Tumas Masa, since general only something which is fit to be moved by the Nida becomes Tame through Masa, while something which lies in a very heavy stone, which is above the Nida, can't be moved by her, since the stone is too heavy. According to Rashi here, Evan Masama refers to a large stone, which was suspended on poles, on which a Nida or Zav sits, while utensils are underneath the stone. The Kalim are Tame, even though no pressure is put on them by the stone, which the not Nida or Zav sits. And that seems to apply even to objects that are not made for sitting on. Completely a new type of Tumah. Tosfos here in Erevin quotes Rabbeinu Tam's definition of Masama, that it's such a heavy stone that the weight of the Nida above it in no way adds any noticeable pressure to any object beneath it. And objects beneath the stone become Tame Rishon LaTumah. And it's not the same as Tumas Masa, since Masa requires moving the object and not just holding it. Interesting Marmokum here, the Sefer Halicha Solom says that Mesoras Biyadenu, we have Mesorah, that any time it says at the beginning of a parak, Amar Rav such and so, like ours is Amar Bikiva, Kachi Halacha, it means that's the Halacha. And any place it says at the beginning of a parak, Rav Ploni Amar, like for example, it's Rabbi Eliezer Omer, in the beginning of Parak Yates, that the Halacha is not that way. You understand? If it says Amar such, the Halacha is that way, and when it says Rabbi Lezer Omer, the opposite. To point out the Mishnah here, the Rambam Paskin like Chachamim though. So that's a little bit of a challenge to it. And look at the Perish of Mishnais and the Sefer Yad Avazar. Matam Yad Mikhail Maga, Ena Matam Masa Kesheretz. Rabbi Akiva is written here with an Aleph. The Or Zarua writes that from, we learn from the Pasuk in Tehillim, Tzadi Zayin Yud Aleph, Or Zarua Letzadik, Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha, that you write Rabbi Akiva with a hey and not an Aleph. If you look at the last letters, it spells Akiva with a hey. So Feitavis. The Yam Shel Shlomo in Maseches Gittin says Lechachila, you should write with a hey. But Bidiyevit, it's Kasher also with an Aleph. Since it's the sound is like a soft sound, and you won't notice the difference. The Torah Zahav says that there are proofs either way.